Good evening. Thank you. Thank you so very much for joining us tonight for our time of ministry in the Word of God and our Bible study. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. He's such a loving Father, so kind, so merciful, so gracious. And I trust God that you are enjoying His goodness even in this season. What a glorious time to be alive, a time to walk with our Father, to know Him, to know the Lord, to be intimate with the Holy Spirit, to be acquainted with the heart of God. What a glorious blessing. I trust that you're doing well, you and your loved ones. I trust that you are enjoying this season of waiting on the Lord and being stretched in our spirit. I know great things are happening. I know the Lord is visiting with us, and we can just sense, we sense His move, we sense His walk. These are not just natural things. You can feel the supernatural move of God. We can feel Him walking with us. We can feel Him breathing upon us. We feel the wind of the Holy Spirit behind our backs. And I am just thankful, so thankful that we serve a God that is a living God. Hallelujah. Well, welcome and thank you again for joining us. Wherever you are joining us from, around the United States or around the world, it's my joy to get around the Word of God with you. This would not be a long session tonight. In this, quite a number of us are going through a time of fasting, waiting on the Lord and seeking God and just presenting ourselves to Him, like we do usually at the beginning of every year. And that's beautiful. That's a wonderful thing. And I trust that your own season of fasting has been fruitful, that you are enjoying your times with the Lord. You are journaling, you are listening, and you are taking it all in. You are taking the time to study, to meditate, to put your focus on the Lord. Our recommended reading books are powerful. Vision 2020, that's a very powerful book that I know if we don't have this attitude that sometimes a lot of us believers have. Can you believe that? Sometimes we just act like we know it all. And unfortunately, the answers we need, sometimes people are praying and they are fasting and they are waiting, they are looking and looking, and sometimes the answers are just there. And that happens to me personally all the time, where the answers to some of the questions that I'm asking, some of the direction that I'm seeking from the Lord, they're right there, my fingertips. Sometimes there are things that the Lord spoken before, or some of the things in some of our books that have been written. But you know, sometimes we have this attitude like, I read that book. I've read it like 3-4 times. I know everything in it. You'll be surprised. You'll be surprised. I remember sometime around the fall of last year, there's a number of things that I was interacting with the Lord about, and it was quickening my spirit to go back and read the book, The God of the Overflow. And it was amazing to me. I'd read that book quite a number of times already over the years since it was written, and praise God, it's powerful. But picking it up last fall and beginning to read it again September, October, and just beginning to take a few notes with a fresh approach to it, like I'd never read the book. It was truly amazing to me, some of the fresh things that the Holy Spirit actually imparted upon my heart. Same thing with the Vision 2020 book. We were visiting a precious a couple. We were out ministering in Florida, and the evening, sometime around, I think it was I think it was, when was this? It was early December. I think it was early December. Yeah. Last year, last month. It feels like so much longer than that, but that's when it was actually. And, after a time of ministry, in the church where we were ministering, that evening we were visiting with a precious couple, ministers of the gospel and pastors who we had have a partnership and a friendship with over the years, praise God, and sat down and we had a good time just fellowshipping and all of that in their lovely home. Somewhere I was looking, we were interacting, and right there on the table was the book Vision 2020. So I said to the pastor, I said, "Hey, pastor, well, how did you get this book?" He said, "I stole it." He was just kidding. And so I remember that way back then when it was written, we sent them out to different partners of the ministry. And then that's when we must have sent it to them. But I was just blessed to see the book on their table because I know he was referencing it and all of that. And then that challenged me to go back and read it again. And when I started reading it again, Vision 2020, I remember when it was written and all of that and some of the circumstances around the book as I started reading it. And it's just amazing to me some of the things that the Holy Spirit started to impart to me afresh again. Hallelujah. And I read that chapter, Don't Settle, or that section that said Don't Settle. I started reading and went to the other sections. There's a section there about energizing your belief system. In fact, as a matter of fact, I remember that's one of those ministries that I had to do sometime last year. I was talking about this aspect, this thing I was studying about the faith, the belief system of the believer. And I remember, oh yeah, there's something about that in the Vision 2020 book. I went and picked it up like I'd never read it before. And it just energized me. It just empowered me. Well, what am I trying to say tonight in so many words? That let's not approach. It's like the Word of God. You may have read the Bible cover to cover, but don't you ever approach it. Every time you open the pages of the Word of God, approach it with this freshness, with this humility, like you don't know anything in there, right? You may be able to quote a lot of the scriptures offhand. You may know a lot of the different contexts and all of that and revelations and all of that from there, but approach it every time with a fresh mind, a fresh spirit. Like, Lord, open my eyes, like the psalmist prayed, Lord, open my eyes to behold wondrous things out of your law, out of your word. Amen. That's how we ought to do with many of these things. And those books, if you read them with that mindset, with that spirit, you'll be amazed. Sometimes the lack of humility that believers have is the reason they are trapped, is the reason they can't move forward. And the Lord said the shift is forward. And year after year, as I've gone back to actually look at some of the things that the Lord has had me minister over the years, during our times of Daniel fasting, I'm seeing that actually a lot of these things have been said before. I was looking at one of the messages that I had done over the years that I titled First Things First. And I was just looking at those notes and there it was, right? What does it mean to go forward? And I remember that year I was ministering on that and I was asking during the Bible study session, like, document, write down, what does it mean for you to go forward in different areas of your life, right? And on the teaching went, hallelujah. And when I saw it recently, I thought to myself, isn't that amazing? Because I didn't consult with those notes, but it's similar what the Lord is saying. The shift is forward, and same scriptures, go forward, just like he told the children of Israel when they were crossing the Red Sea. So I said all of that. Again, this is going to be a short session tonight, but I said all of that to encourage you. Remember, the answers, all the answers are available to you. The Lord's made his word, his will, his counsel, he's made them easily available to us. You can contact them. You can reach them if you really have a hunger in your spirit the Holy Spirit will open your eyes and you see things and answers to questions that you may have had even for years. You may find them right there at your fingertips. Right there at your fingertips. So as you go over those books, as you to read, you study, make fresh notes. Like maybe your own copy, maybe you've even, you know, written on it before, the electronic copy you have, you know, you don't have, that's all I'm trying to say to you. Because I see this, I see it so often, so frequently amongst believers. You know, I've shepherded God's people, been privileged to shepherd God's people for many decades now, for a number of years. And I see this trend, just sometimes the humility that is lacking. Just people acting like they know it. But you can see in interacting with them, they don't know it. They may have some head knowledge. They may have some mental knowledge. But you can see that thing is not resident in their spirit. Because when God makes a demand on it, they come up wanting. They don't have it. Right? And that's because that thing hasn't been embedded in their spirit. I encourage you. The fast is on for a few more days, and glory to God, even after the fast, right? Finish those books. Don't drop them. Some people never finish them. Again, it goes back to this attitude many times that believers have. They just act like, oh, I know it. Oh, I've read it. Oh, I know the person who wrote it. I mean, what does that have to do with anything? it's like if you knew Peter when he directed the writing of the Gospel of Mark, right? One of the most powerful Gospels, right? Of the Synoptic Gospels. Like, I know Peter. Yeah, I remember him. Peter. You know, yeah, I remember the story. Even denied the Lord. He denied the Lord, you know, before the cock crow. You know, he was telling the Lord, I'll never leave. But, you know, I remember him. He went and he wrote the book of Mark. But right there in the book of Mark, the Holy Spirit was actually inscribing the heart of God. Had nothing to do with Peter or the person who God used to write it. It's the heart of God revealed to us, revealed to humanity, revealed to the church. So I encourage you. I'm saying that, and I didn't really even plan to do that, but obviously the Lord wanted me to, so I'm glad I did tonight. I'm encouraging you, go through the pages of those books. Right? Share them, go over them, regurgitate them, meditate them, and then share them with other people. Some of the principles you get there, right? Like a child, have a childlike attitude about you when you approach those things, and then use them. Amen. Act on it. That's where faith is. Faith is corresponding action. It's not just knowing, having so much knowledge. Head knowledge is not how much we have read, how much we have learned, how long we have been there, how many times we have done the fast. No. Faith is actually corresponding action. That means you receive the revelation and then you act on it. You act on it like it is so. And then God will do amazing things in your life. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we thank you so much. You have been so good to us. What a privilege that we have every season like this, just to come before you, to approach your throne of grace, to hear from you, to yield ourselves to you, to make ourselves available to you. And I thank you, Father, for all of my brothers and sisters, everyone that is under the sound of my voice tonight. Everyone that is standing with us, everyone that is walking with us, everyone, Father God, that is going through this season of waiting on the Lord, this season of standing and this season of believing God with us, I pray for them. Father, I pray that your hand might be upon them. I pray that them and their loved ones might be blessed in this season, that they might experience you like they have never experienced you before. Do some amazing things in every life, Father. Establish us in destiny, in your purpose, according to your will, according to your heart. I thank you for it, Lord. I give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go back there to Hebrews chapter 10. I'm just going to read a few scriptures tonight like I said, this is going to be fairly short. That section of our confession, our 2026 confession, I've read it a couple of weeks in a row now. That particular verse that says, "The spirit of sacrifice is upon my life. I say yes to your way and yes to your will. My Father, I choose you as my priority, and I make you my destiny. I receive the sweet fragrance of heaven over my life today. The plague is stopped. The curse is broken, and my bloodline is redeemed forever." Hallelujah. And that's so powerful. I say yes to your way and yes to your will. Last week we closed out that song by the Brooklyn Tap, Reverend Milton Bronson and the that choir, that blessed choir out of Chicago, available to you. What a powerful song that was. And I remember we were talking about the need for us to yield ourselves to God, to the Lord, and tell Him, "Father, I choose you. I choose you. I choose you as my priority. I make you my destiny." Maybe you've done it year after year. Maybe you've done it. Maybe every year that you can remember, you've done that while doing this fast. Well, do it this year like you've never done it before. Let it have a new meaning. Hallelujah. Let it have a new meaning. Let it have a new sound. Let it reverberate through your spirit. Let it bring you to a new place in your relationship with the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I love the verse before it. It says, "This is my year of vision shift and generational shift. I see the invisible and I do the impossible. This is my season of opportunity and open doors. I give my bread to the hungry and I offer hope to the hopeless. I am anointed to bind up the brokenhearted." Hallelujah. "I'm anointed to bind up the brokenhearted, to comfort the afflicted, and to set the captives free." It's a season of opportunity. Glory to God. Like we said last week, this is a year of superior sacrifices, supreme sacrifices. And the Lord is calling us to make sacrifices at levels we have never done in the past for the benefit of His kingdom and for the benefit of His people. Right? In these days of transactional Christianity, when people go, "God, if you bless me, I'll do so and so for you. If you give me that job, or if you give me that miracle, or that thing I've been asking you for, then I will go there for you." No, that's not the right way to do that. Right? We are supposed to come and say, "Lord, here I am. Use me. Send me anywhere you want to send me. Lead me. Tell me whatever. Direct me." Right? I'm your victim. The word sacrifice, the original of that word means a victim, right? When you bind up an animal and place it on an altar, that animal is a victim. Glory to God. That animal can't help himself, can't break out of that, can't struggle and break out of that altar, can't release itself from, no, it's a victim. It's bound, like Paul. Paul used to say, you know, that blessed me so much this past weekend, you know, where Paul many times will say, I'm Paul, a bond servant. I'm a bond servant of Christ. He's a man of God. He's a servant. He's a child of God. He's blood bought and blood washed, and he's redeemed. He's redeemed. He's privileged. He's privileged to be a child of God. But then he calls himself a bond servant of Christ. That's I'm a victim. I've given up my will to the Lord. Whatever you want me to do, that's what I'm going to do. Wherever you send me, that's where I'm going to go. Hallelujah. And some of the sacrifices that the Lord will call us to make as we move forward with Him will be opportunities to stretch in our faith and in our obedience. You know, we say this is our season of opportunity. Well, what does that mean? Sometimes when God calls us to make certain sacrifices, it's actually an opportunity to stretch in our faith and in our obedience. Like when the Lord called Abraham to sacrifice his only son. Oh, what a ridiculous ask. What kind of God tells a man that he says he loves to go and kill his own only son, a son that he waited for many years? Oh, what kind of God asked somebody to do that? A good, loving father? Amen. Because it's always got better. It's always got better. And remember, just like Abraham, in fact, the Lord was not really going to take away Abraham's son. He wasn't going to take away Abraham's son and leave him with nothing. Right? The Bible tells us in Hebrews, Abraham received his son in a figure. He saw that boy, that young man, Isaac, as he was already dead, but he saw God raising him up. And he received him almost in his spirit. He saw the reality of Isaac being raised up from the dead and given back to him. That was faith. That's a level of faith he had never experienced before. He had never walked in. He had never demonstrated before. This was his opportunity. When the Lord said to him, go, and it took very early in him, go up and go onto this mountain Moriah and offer up. It was an opportunity for Abraham to stretch in his faith in God and to stretch in his obedience. Remember what the Bible says in Job chapter 36, verse 11. If they obey and if they serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and they will spend their years in pleasures. Job 36, 11. If they obey and serve him, to spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. A lot of the things that we're trusting God to do in our lives actually are tied to our obedience in God and our obedience to God. They are tied to our willingness to be his victims. You see all of those. I mean, look at the Lord Jesus Christ in Hebrews 10. When he gave that sacrifice, like the Lord, like God had never had before. The Lord Jesus Christ made a sacrifice like no human, no priest had ever made. Priests every year, they made sacrifices, but what did it cost them? Maybe a few dollars here and there. They buy the animals or some of the people in the congregation will bring the animals and offer them and give them to the priest. And the priest will lay them on the altar. But it wasn't the priest's blood that was being shed. And even if they shed their blood, even if they tried to shed their blood, it still would not have been sufficient to be a propitiation, the appropriate propitiation or the payment for the atonement of the sin of man. Well, because God was looking for a lamb without spot and without blemish. And none of us has that. But Jesus did. And Jesus brought that body. He said to the Father, he said, this is the body you have prepared me. And now I'm bringing it and I'm offering it to you. I'm your victim. I'm offering it to you, a living sacrifice. Let's read right here in Hebrews chapter 10 real quick, because I want to go and read a few scriptures out of Isaiah chapter 58 as we wrap up our fast. Remember, these things that the Lord's speaking to us about, they are not just things that we're supposed to do during a 21-day fast. That's when we begin to do them. That's when we start them. But that's not when we're not supposed to get it all done in 21 days, in 3 weeks. No, that's when we make a lifetime commitment or a lifelong commitment that we will wholeheartedly do these things. And in God calling us to make sacrifices at a higher level, where all the sacrifices is not going to be all through these 3 weeks. And then that's it for the rest of the year. We are done. Well, we're done with sacrifices, right? After once January is over, the rest of the year is mine. No, that's not what this is. We lay the foundation in January, in this fast. And then during this fast, as we go, we make a lifelong commitment to offer up ourselves at a level that we have never done before. Glory to God. The Lord isn't going to ask you to go and offer yourself like the Lord Jesus Christ and pay for somebody's sin. No, that has already been done. What kind of sacrifices will the Lord ask you to make? You'll be amazed. Some of the things that the opportunities that God will bring our way. This is why many times believers miss that, right? Because we're thinking of this, oh, Jesus put his body on the cross, on the altar. He was the ultimate sacrifice. Yes, he was. But God isn't going to ask you or me to do that. There are sacrifices that are tailored for each of us, right? What he's going to call you to do will be different from what he's going to call me to do. But there'll be sacrifices nonetheless. And don't overlook that. Don't be so stubborn. Don't be so, don't draw lines for God, boundaries. Like, well, this is how far I'm going to go. But beyond this, I can't do. No. In fact, who else is giving? Who else is doing? Who else is all of this? I'm the one who is. No, you don't think like that. Who in my family serves God like I do? Who in my neighborhood? No, don't think about it like that. Don't think about it like that. Lord, I'm available to you. Anything you want me to do. Anything. There are no boundaries. There are no limits. I haven't drawn a line. There's no cap on what I'm committed to do for you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's read from Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to read from the Amplified Version of the Bible. Glory to God. Let me say this one more time. Don't create boundaries for God. Don't draw lines in your mind. Like, this is how far. This is how far I'm gonna go. Like, yeah, truly, if you look at yourself, you are probably far better. You are probably way ahead of most people in your family, most people at your place of work, most people even in whatever church you're worshiping, right? Maybe even most people who are in the ministry, like you, if you are in the ministry, or most people who are serving God, like you, right? You're probably doing far better. But don't think about it like that. Like, yeah, this is how far I'll be willing to go. Now, if the Lord can ask you to do something that sounds ridiculous to you, like he asked Abraham. He didn't tell Abraham to go and kill himself. He didn't tell Abraham to go and offer his own body. No, he said to Abraham, give me your son. Go and offer your son. It sounded ridiculous. What if God asked you to do something ridiculous? Right? Have you drawn a line like, no, this is not part of the agenda. This is not part of the plan. I committed to do that, but this is how much, this is how far I'm willing to go, and that's it. I hope that's not going to be your story. Because then you might miss out on God's best. And I believe God with you. That indeed this will be your year of a supernatural shift, even a shift in your thinking. Hallelujah. Let's read Hebrews chapter 10. My time is going off here. Hebrews chapter 10. For since the law has merely a rude outline, foreshadowing of the good things to come, instead of fully expressing those things, it can never, by offering the same sacrifices continually year after year, make perfect those who approach his altars. For if it were otherwise, would these sacrifices not have stopped being offered? Since the worshippers had once and for all been cleansed, they would no longer have any guilt or consciousness of sin. But as it is, these sacrifices annually bring a fresh remembrance of sins to be atoned for, because the blood of bulls and goats is powerless to take sins away. Hence, when he, Christ, entered into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but instead you have made ready a body for me to offer. In burnt offerings and in sin offerings you have taken no delight. Verse 7, Hebrews 10, verse 7. This is the Amplified Version. Then I said, behold, here I am, coming to do your will, O God, to fulfill what is written of me in the volume of your book. The ultimate sacrifice. The ultimate sacrifice. The Lord Jesus Christ said to the Father, Lord, I'm your victim. Here I am. I'm your victim. You give me this body and I offer it back to you. Ultimate sacrifice. Supreme sacrifice. Superior sacrifices. It's what the Lord's called us to be in and to make this year. Hallelujah. Now, seven reasons the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ was superior to that of the high priest. I've mentioned what, at least given a general thought about one of the most important ones, right? The high priest, it didn't cost them much, those sacrifices. And then that's why they had to make them every year. They brought animals. The animals were the victims. And the high priest just offered them and they went back home. But in the case of our Lord Jesus Christ, he was the victim. Jesus Christ was the victim. And he was also the high priest. So it's like the high priest taking his own body and putting it on the altar. What a glorious sacrifice. What a glorious sacrifice. And Jesus is our example. Not necessarily in what he did, because we're not, the Lord is not asking us to do that, but in the principle behind what he did. Like David said, I will not give to the Lord that which costs me nothing. Our sacrifices, the sacrifices the Lord will call us to make will cost us some convenience. It may cost us some resources. It may cost us some pleasures. It may cost us some of our own delight, some of the things we want to do. Some of these sacrifices may call us to deny our own preferences and to choose his own preferences. Hallelujah. Like our confession says, Father, I choose you as my priority. You're my number one. I am not my number one. I'm not my own number one. You are my number one. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want us to go and read as we... I'm going to try to just make a few comments here in Isaiah chapter 58. The Lord was talking to them about the fast, the kind of fast that was acceptable to him. They fasted every year. But then in Isaiah 58, the Lord was telling them the fast that is acceptable to him. Glory to God. And like we said earlier, this is a period when the Lord wants us to make wholehearted commitments. Wholehearted commitment regarding some of the things that we are going to do as the year progresses. The fast helps us, puts us in a place to make those commitments. We're not necessarily going to do all of those things during this fast, but we make the commitment. And as the year progresses, then we begin to execute. We begin to do them. We begin to walk in obedience and begin to carry those things out. Hallelujah. In Isaiah 58, let's read from verse 5. I'm reading from the Amplified. He said, the Lord said, it's such a fast as yours, what I have chosen, a day for a man to humble himself with sorrow in his soul. Is true fasting merely mechanical? No, true fasting is not mechanical. True fasting is not just being hungry from 12 midnight to 6 p.m. or whatever the case may be. No, it's not mechanical. It's not just, no, I didn't eat much. Or, you know, no, yeah, oh, I was very, very sorrowful. It was very difficult. I went through a hard time. You know, some people relate with a time of fasting like this as a time of pain and sorrow. That's not what it is. He said, is it merely mechanical? Is it only to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him to indicate a condition of heart that he does not have? Will you call this a fast and an acceptable day of the Lord? Notice right there how the Lord addresses and how he puts the focus on the heart. This fast is supposed to help us prioritize the heart of God. To commit, make a lifelong commitment to pursuing the heart of God. Glory to God. Verse 6. Rather, it's not this fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every enslaving yoke. Right? Isn't the fast that I have chosen, why is this fast different? Right? Why is this fast so? Why is it different? Why is it not the same fast we do every year? That mechanical fast, that approach that we have, that mindset. Oh, we're fasting for 21 days. It's a Daniel fast. Why is the Lord saying this is different? Well, if your fast is different this year, and if you choose God, and if you submit completely, wholeheartedly to his will for your life, then this fast will be acceptable to him, and you will experience his highest blessings in this new season in your life. Hallelujah. This fast, if in this fast you make a lifelong commitment to God's heart, to God's people, to God's purpose, then you will experience God like you have never experienced him before. Let's go back and read this. He said right there in verse 7, is this fast not to divide your bread with the hungry, to give your bread to the hungry? There's a line in our confession that says that I give my bread to the hungry. Right? Is it not to give your bread to the hungry and to bring the homeless poor into your house? This is opportunity. It says it's my season of opportunity. Right? It's my season to make a commitment and then to begin to execute that through the year. Not just in the 21 days of the fast. No. But to follow through with that commitment that I make during the foundation laying season of the year, during that fast. Right? I'm going to deal my bread. I'm going to give my bread to the hungry. I'm going to bring the homeless poor into my, I'm going to provide shelter for the needy. When you see the naked, that you cover him and that you hide not yourself from the needs of your own flesh and blood. The Lord said, that's the fast that I accept. That's the fast that is acceptable to me. A fast where that commitment is made and then where there is a follow through. Hallelujah. Then he said in verse 8, then shall your light break forth like the morning, and your healing, your restoration, and the power of a new life shall spring forth speedily. Glory to God. Your righteousness, your rightness, your justice, and your right relationship with God will go before you, conducting you to peace and prosperity. And the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Hallelujah. Like it was for the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. The glory of the Lord will surround you. Your light, says your light will break forth like the morning. Your healing, your restoration, and the power of a new life will spring forth speedily. Your righteousness, glory to God, will go forth ahead of you, conducting you to peace and prosperity. When that fast is acceptable to the Lord, when a commitment to the heart of God is the underlying purpose for that fast, a commitment to yield to the will of God, to walk in the will of God, when that is the underlying purpose of the fast, then you see miracles at different levels that will happen in our lives. Look at verse 9 says, then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry and he will say, here I am. If you take away from your midst yokes of oppression, wherever you find them, the finger pointing, the scorn towards the oppressed or the godly, and every form of false, harsh, unjust, and wicked speaking. If you take all that out, if you put on the kindness of Jesus, if you put on the love, the loving heart of the Father. Love is not a crossword. Why is it we live in a world today where people believe they act and they believe that if you walk the love walk, then you must be looking for something. What? How crazy is that? How terribly stupid is that? If you walk the love walk, if you are kind to people, if you help the helpless, if you give hope to the hopeless, if you speak a good kind word, if you help the needy, if you wrap your clothes and your arms around the hungry, the destitute, and if you are good to people, like the Father is good to us, people think that's there's a time when that was acceptable as love, but not anymore. Right now, we all need to be, you know, love has to be calculated. You have to plan it. That's not the heart of God. Now, agape love is unconditional love. That's what the Lord is saying. You take on my heart in this fast. Commit to my heart. When did being good to people become a sign of ungodliness? I don't understand it. When did hurting people, when did being mean-spirited, being harsh and unkind to people that are helpless? I'm not talking about, people that are walking in disobedience and who are insisting on doing wrong and carrying others and, you know, having others follow them. That's not what I'm talking about. People who are in need. People who are helpless. That's what Isaiah 58 is all about. I almost sense that if the Lord brought Isaiah 58 and if the verses of Isaiah 58 were read in some of our churches, I almost feel like some of the people in those churches, some of the people on the pews, especially here in our country, in the United States of America, I almost feel like some of them will walk out of the church. God said, you give your bread to the hungry, clothe the naked, be kind to the helpless, and comfort the afflicted, and heal the brokenhearted. Some people think to be mean-spirited, to do evil against helpless people, to show how desperate, how much they need us, because we have so much and they don't have anything, and to demonstrate how much we have and how much they don't have. Some people think that's actually the mark of godliness. And they are in for a very big surprise, because the Lord talks about justice. There's justice coming. There's rightness and justice coming. You watch out. It might take a while. Right? Because like the Lord said to Abraham, he says that this, because the cup of the Amorite is not yet full. So don't take that God sometimes is quiet and just watches. Don't take that to mean that God is a fool. The Bible says God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that he will also reap. Hallelujah. This time of this waiting and committing ourselves to the Lord is a time to devote ourselves to the heart of the Master, to the heart of the Father. To say, Lord, I'll be kind to those that are not deserving of it. I'll help the poor. I'll be merciful to my fellow man. I'll be merciful. I'll show compassion. The story that the Lord Jesus Christ told about, you know, the thief, when that person came and asked him, who is my neighbor, right? Trying to justify himself. And the Lord told that story of this man who was attacked by armed robbers. And they beat him, they took everything he had. He was right there by the side of the road, bleeding. And then the first person who came by, I think, was a priest or a Levite. They were supposed to be godly people going to the house of the Lord. And they just walked by. They saw him, they would not even do anything. The priest came by, the Levite came by. To them, what they are going to go and do, the goals that they have set, the programs that have been planned, take precedence over that humanity. And they miss the heart of God completely. Because the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Lord gave his life for that person, undeserving. For us, for me, for you. Even though we didn't deserve it. And that victim of this armed robbery was there, bleeding, hurting by the side of the road. And the so-called godly people did nothing for them until the Samaritan came. That's, we've got the story of the good Samaritan. Why do we call him the good Samaritan? Because remember, by their history, Samaritans don't have any dealings with the Jews. They were supposed to be, they don't mix, they don't do anything together. But it was that Samaritan who went and helped that person that was undeserving of his help. And he bound up his wounds. He took him, put him on his own donkey, and rode him to the inn and told the innkeeper, took him to the clinic, told the people at the clinic, I'll pay whatever it costs to restore this man. To restore, let's go further down here. He talks about, we'll be repairers of the breach, we'll be restorers of paths to walk in, we'll build the old and desolate places, we'll bring up the waste places of our generations. These are the things we make a commitment to during this fast. I'm going to rebuild the waste places. I'm going to be a repairer of the breach. The word breach means something that is broken. I'm going to mend broken lives. I'm going to mend broken hearts. I'm going to mend broken communities. I'm going to mend broken nations. I'll be a part of the solution, a part of the answer, a part of God's peace and prosperity. I will not be a part of the problem. He said, then you, in verse 9, then you call, the Lord will answer, you cry, and he will say, here I am. If you take away from your midst the yokes of oppression, wherever you find them, the finger pointing and all of that. Verse 10, and if you pour out that which you sustain your own life for the hungry, if you pour out that with which you sustain your own life for the hungry and satisfy the need of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in darkness and your obscurity and gloom will become like the noonday. Hallelujah. Verse 11, and the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy you in drought and in dry places and make strong your bones, and you will be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Isn't that all the prayers we're praying? Renewed life, renewed strength, freshness, restoration. The Lord said all of that will happen just by you following through with this commitment, this quality commitment that you make to follow my heart. Glory to God. Glory to God. Verse 12, and your ancient ruins will be rebuilt. You will raise up the foundations of buildings that have been laid waste for many generations. You will be called the repairers of the breach, restorer of streets or paths to dwell in. Glory to God. Glory to God. You be called repairers of the breaches. You raise up the ancient ruins. Raise up the foundations of many generations. Start with your own generation. You repair. You see, there's that line in our confession, in our 2026 confession. It says, the plague is stopped, the curse is broken, and my bloodline is redeemed forever. Hallelujah. That's it. That's it. That's how it happens. We raise up the foundations of many generations because we took on the heart of the Father. And our bloodline is redeemed forever. When Noah offered those sacrifices, Lord smelled this sweet savor, and he made a covenant, I'll never again destroy. He said his bloodline became redeemed because of his sacrifice. Well, you and I, wholeheartedly, you commit to this supreme level of sacrifices. My friends, the Lord, some amazing things will happen that will cause even your own eyes, and even your own ears will tingle. And you go, how? I never thought that was possible. Yes, the Lord will do supernatural things. The Lord will do amazing things. Supernatural, helped, incredible, favored, transfer of power. All of that, makeover, do over, pass over, fly over, walk over, all of that and more. We take the heart of the Father. We lay the foundation in this season of a fast. And then we follow through as the year goes along. We go. This Isaiah 58 should be close to every one of us. Each and every one of us should be close to this. Read it over and over and over, even beyond the time of fasting. And look at the things that the Lord said to do. Those were some, and some of them will be sacrifices at different points in time as we go through the year. They will not be convenient. They will not be easy. They may take you out of your regular, what you like to do. They may cost you more than what you want to pay. Look at the last verse. Look at verse 14. Then you will delight yourself in the Lord, and I will make you to ride on the high places of the earth. and I will feed you with the heritage promised for you of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. When we commit ourselves to following and to pursuing the heart of the Father, when we make lifelong commitments to walking in the will of God, to being God's hands and God's feet on the earth, my confession says I'm anointed. I'm anointed. I'm anointed to bind up the brokenhearted. I'm anointed to comfort the afflicted. I'm anointed to set the captives free. And we take on the heart of God. We pursue his heart, and we pursue his purpose and his people, and we sell out to that. We will experience things in this year that we have never experienced before. I guarantee that. The word of God guarantees that. Father, we thank you so much tonight. I give you praise, Lord, for every one of my brothers and sisters, everyone under the sound of my voice tonight. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father, thank you for speaking your word to us, Lord. Thank you for speaking your word to us. You help us to bless, to be a blessing to the fatherless, to the orphans. You help us to clothe the naked. Lord, you help us to speak a kind word to someone who's broken in the name of Jesus. You help us give hope to the hopeless. You help us give our bread to the hungry. Hallelujah. You help us. Because it's not by might or by power. We can't do all of this in our own abilities. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. We receive grace tonight. We sit right there at your throne of grace. And we receive all that we need, all that we require to be pleasing to you. I bless everyone under the sound of my voice tonight. Let these words continually reverberate through all of our spirits, through all of our minds. Let it bring us to a place, a different place. I thank you, Father. I honor you. And I give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, God bless you, saints. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Our time is up. I thought I would actually have closed long before now, but praise God, we had a wonderful time in his presence. I look forward to seeing you later on as the year progresses, and as we dig in further, talking about these sacrifices. Father, I choose you. This spirit of sacrifice that the Lord has called us to take on our lives in 2026. I call you blessed. And I look forward to seeing you again next time. God bless you. Good night.